Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our triune God. Amen. So believe it or not, this is our fourth Holy Trinity Sunday together. This is the fourth time I've gotten to preach on this day with you. And although I didn't look back to check, I'm pretty sure that each and every one of those Sundays, I have told you how much I love to study and talk about the Trinity. Right, it's one of my favorite things to think about. And you may remember that for my theology degree, Trinitarian theology was one of my concentrations of study. One of the reasons that I love studying it is because it helps us more fully understand who God is, which then helps us understand more deeply and be more aware of how the triune God is active in our lives and the world. The Trinity is one of the most important and one of the most complex ideas in Christianity. Let's face it, it's hard to talk about God, but once a year on Holy Trinity Sunday, we try yet again to wrap our minds around how God can be one in three and three in one at the very same time. One of the questions that I've heard a lot over the years is, how can we really know anything about the Trinity when the Trinity isn't mentioned or talked about in Scripture? How can we really know anything about the Trinity when the Trinity isn't mentioned or talked about in Scripture? That's a really good question. First of all, let's look at the word Trinity itself. The word Trinity comes from two words put together. The first part, tri, which means three. The second part, from unity, which means one. So in the very name itself, three and one come together. And it's true, the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible. And there isn't a place in the New Testament where Jesus or Paul or someone else offers us a thought through doctrine on the Trinity, although wouldn't that be nice? The church could have saved all these 2,000 years of thinking about it with that, but there isn't a place in Scripture that mentions the Trinity or talks about it as far as a doctrine. But the reality of God, the first person of the Trinity, Christ, and the Spirit exists throughout the New Testament. And this lesson from John 3 today is a great example of that. In his conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus references all three persons of the Trinity. And we know that there are other places in the Gospels where when Jesus talking about God talks about that first person of the Trinity as being both distinct from him and being one with him. And the same is true of the Spirit, right? Jesus talks about being one with the Spirit, and also that the Spirit is a presence that is distinct from Jesus. So there are many places in the New Testament where the persons of the Trinity and how they are at work in the world and how they are in relationship with one another are talked about. But here's what I want you to know, and that is that our doctrine of the Trinity, our understanding of the Trinity, emerges from the early church's lived experience with Jesus and the Spirit. What they had previously known about God had to grow and had to change as they encountered Jesus and the Spirit. Because when they had experiences with Jesus, they knew that they had encountered God. And when they had experiences with the Holy Spirit, they knew that they had encountered God. And so they had to think about and figure out how to talk about that. and how to explain it. Right? Before God became human in Christ, and before Christ sent the Spirit, the people's understanding of God was limited to God, the first person of the Trinity. But as we've talked about all Eastertide, Christ's life, death, resurrection, and ascension changes everything. So as the earliest Christians reflected on their experience with all three persons of the Trinity, God, Christ, and the Spirit, and as they reflected on Scripture, their understanding and the doctrine of the Trinity began to take shape. And they looked at passages like this in John 3, where Jesus references all people in the Trinity. They look at Genesis 1, where God says, "Let us make humankind in our image." And so with this new knowledge they had, they reflected on Scripture a little bit differently. And over the years and the decades, and now centuries, the church has grown deeper and deeper in its understanding of the triune God, that God is one. And within that one God, there are three persons who are co-equal, who are distinct, who are co-eternal, and so on and so on. Now, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, golly, this is confusing and this is complicated, I just don't get it, you're in really good company. Because in today's gospel lesson, Nicodemus felt the same way. We know that Nicodemus was a religious leader. We know that he would have been very, very educated in the Hebrew Bible, in Jewish scholarship and life. And Nicodemus was so intrigued by Jesus that he went to meet with him, to learn more, to have a conversation, to ask questions. And when Jesus responded, Nicodemus still didn't get it. You see, he was trying to fit all of these new ideas about God into an old understanding of who God was. Nicodemus was kind of an expert on God. If someone needed to talk about God on a news channel or for a news program, they'd go to him because he was kind of the expert on God. Jesus even called him in this passage the teacher of Israel. And yet even he struggled to grasp these new and different ways of understanding who God is. It was hard for him to make sense of. But here's what I love about Nicodemus. His experiences with Jesus challenged his faith. His experiences with Jesus challenged his beliefs. His experiences with Jesus challenged his understanding of God. And instead of shutting down, instead of shying away, instead of digging in his heels into his beliefs and what he thought he knew, he opened his heart and mind. He asked questions. He reflected on his experiences with Jesus. He reflected on Scripture. Even when he was challenged, even when he didn't get it, Nicodemus never stopped learning. He didn't become apathetic. He didn't become stagnant. He let his knowledge about God grow wider and deeper. And he let his faith evolve. And how do we know this? Well, out in public and in the daylight where anyone and everyone could see him, he assisted Joseph of Arimathea in preparing Jesus' body for burial. Nicodemus was a work in progress, just like all of us. And he reminds me of this quote by Martin Luther. This life, therefore, is not righteousness, but growth in righteousness. Not health, but healing. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not yet what we shall be, but we are growing toward it. The process is not yet finished, but it is going on. This is not the end, but it is the road. All does not gleam in glory, but all is being purified. The process is not yet finished, but is going on. This is not the end, but the road. Sisters and brothers, I know that there are a lot of things about God that is hard to understand, including the Trinity. And it's not just hard to understand, it's even harder to sometimes explain it. But may we, like Nicodemus, no matter our age, no matter how much we think we know, may we never, ever stop asking questions. May we never stop learning. May we never stop reflecting on our experiences with the triune God and Scripture. And until we breathe our last, may our knowledge of God grow deeper and wider. And may our faith never stop evolving. Amen.